Welcome to the March director's cut for January production statistics. So some of you have probably noticed that we are doing this a little bit early this time around, a little out of the normal for us, but we felt it might be appropriate given that there was Energy Day at the Capitol yesterday. There's some big news that's coming out of the legislature tomorrow, and so we thought it would be appropriate to have the most up-to-date information in folks' hands when we go into the revenue forecast that's coming out from the legislature tomorrow. So it took some scrambling from our wonderful production department, but they really pulled it off, so kudos to them. So what we're going to talk about today is, of course, the new numbers that we have out, but due to the fact that we are putting this stuff out on the 8th, some of the information that Justin typically uses isn't available yet, so he doesn't have that information. So he's going to be talking today about well performance and how we've seen in changes with well performance. It comes at a good time because there was a recent article that was published in a very well known economic magazine or investor magazine that. Seemed to signal that there was an end of the Bakken, and we have data that we feel like that is not correct, so we're just going to present the data that we have in terms of well performance, economics, water, gas oil ratio, things like that, just to kind of get some information out there that we feel is more correct. So I think that about covered it. We're going to start with Justin. And he's going to walk through some of the information that he has on Bakken well performance. So, Mr. Kringstad?
Okay. Thanks, Allison. Good afternoon, everyone. Justin Kringstad, Director of the North Dakota Pipeline Authority. We're going to get into probably more typical of what my day-to-day looks like working with the midstream industry on new projects. And so we'll jump right into slide two. And so one big topic for the midstream industry, obviously, when they're trying to develop new processing, new pipeline projects, is understanding how the wells are performing. How do we forecast more accurately in the long term? And so what you're looking at on slide two, this is just actual data. There's no forecasted information here. This is looking at year by year how the wells in the state have been performing. And you'll notice starting back to 2011, each year statewide averages for well performance has continued to march upwards. And the well performance, again, being critical for that pipeline development, that processing development, systems that were designed in 2012, 2013, under those assumptions of how wells are performing, we've seen on gas capture and other issues where they just have not been large enough to handle all of the production that's been coming out of there. So this is, again, one of those areas that the Pipeline Authority and the industry keep very close tabs on to see how the wells have been performing, not only for the oil that you see on slide two, but on slide three, which is the natural gas performance in the state as well. So natural gas even more pronounced in the year-over-year growth in how the wells have been performing. Again, that gas capture, the processing plants that are required. The big question is, can the industry continue this march forward? Have we gotten close to finding the technology cap? You know, again, history is maybe saying we haven't reached that ceiling yet, but we'll continue to see, you know, how things evolve, how the smart minds out there are able to come up with new ways of completing and new technology in drilling and getting these wells online. One of the arguments maybe that could be made for slides two and three on the oil and the gas would be that, you know, during the last couple of years, the development has been more focused in the core area of the play. And so on slide four, I took a look at a set of fields in northern McKenzie County to see if we were continuing to see those trends of well performance increases, and we are. So if you look at, this is oil performance again in north McKenzie County, that 2016 number, about 25% or so higher than what the industry was seeing just a few years ago as far as well performance. And when we're talking multiple wells and high performing wells in that area, that 25% increase means a substantial additional amount of gas and crude oil that needs to be moved out of the region. Slide 5, this is looking at natural gas performance in that same northern McKenzie County area. So again, 2015 and 2016 kind of trending together, but definitely outperforming how the wells were looking, again, just a few years ago in that northern McKenzie area. One other thing I want to talk about, a big area of discussion on the natural gas side is gas-oil ratios and how those have been changing over time. If you looked back at the previous slides, you'll notice that, on a number-for-number basis, natural gas trends higher than crude oil performance. And this was something that the Pipeline Authority had commissioned a study back in 2012 to take a look at. We had worked with Bentec out of the Colorado area. And at that point in time, we had already gotten on everyone's radars the fact that as the wells in North Dakota continued to age, that the gas-to-oil ratio was going to continue to increase. And so we've seen that since 2012, and we expect to continue to see that as these wells continue to mature, as the reservoir pressure decreases with increasing production, that gas-to-oil ratio is going to continue to increase based upon reservoir pressures and what's known as bubble point pressure down in the wellbore itself. And so just for reference for folks, I know this is getting highly technical, but slide 8 and slide 9 just takes a look at what is that bubble point pressure, how does it work inside of a horizontal well like a Bakken Three Forks. And so again, as the wells age, as production comes to the surface from that wellbore area down in the reservoir, that pressure is going to slowly decrease and work its way out into the reservoir. As it does so, more and more natural gas becomes free from the crude oil down in the subsurface, and that is one of the contributing factors then to this increase in gas oil ratio. So again, it's something that the industry, it's well known for as long as folks have been studying how reservoirs perform over time. This is something that we anticipate, and we fully expect and we fully model going forward for North Dakota's natural gas production. And then just very quickly, I'll wrap up with just some of the outlooks for oil production and natural gas production for the state. We know that in the near term, until we get some additional rigs in the area, some more wells being completed, we may see over the next several months maybe some steady to potentially a few more months of decreasing production. But over the long term, as activity returns, the expectation is that we're going to continue to see some significant growth out of the region, not only for crude oil that you can see on slide 10, and then slide 11, taking a look at the potential scenarios for natural gas production growth in the region. And so, again, in order to hit some of these higher levels, we're going to continue to need some increased rig count, as well as additional wells being completed in those outward years for the state. But under these scenarios, again, that long-term view is that there's going to be a significant amount of additional oil, additional natural gas that's going to need additional infrastructure, more pipelines, more processing plants, and the like in order to keep these products moving to market. And so one thing I did not touch on here, later this month I'll be releasing some additional information on well economics. Taking a look each quarter, I'll rework the numbers to see how well economics have been changing. The way that I perform those well economics is based upon well performance. And so it's more of a well performance comparison for how things have been changing over time. But as you saw in the earlier slides, as these wells have been performing better, the economics continue to improve for those folks that are drilling and completing wells in the Bakken. I know Lynn has a few more updates on drilling economics in the Bakken he may want to touch on.
Yeah, if you just want to go back to that well performance slide, that naturally leads into a discussion, and we aren't gathering statistics just in response to the article that was published in the Economic Journal, but we've been tracking this for 4 to 5 years, and we've been doing break-evens for oil drilling county by county for about the last 3 years. So when we compare the fourth quarter of 2014 to the fourth quarter of 2016, based largely on well performance, but also on declining well costs, the break-even cost for drilling those wells has dropped by anywhere from $9 to $20 a barrel. So you can see that the Bakken is continuing to evolve as a more and more economic play. as opposed to some concerns about it being the beginning of the end. One other thing that was touched on, and Justin talked about well performance, there's lots of ways to do that, but I think the best way, as he has done, is just to go back to the raw data and not put any detailed engineering or geology analysis into that. And likewise on the break-even costs. He talked about gas oil ratios. The article also raised an issue with increasing water production as a possible concern. And what I wanted to address is that the data shows that that water production is largely coming from Three Forks drilling. The Three Forks is a deeper zone. It's under the Bakken. It's somewhat connected to some deeper zones that contain more water. And so as more and more wells have been drilled into that Three Forks zone or Three Forks horizon, water cuts have increased. And our data shows that in 2016, the Three Forks water cut was, or water oil ratio was well above one, while the Middle Bakken was still at about 0.77. So the Three Forks has 150% of the water oil ratio of the Bakken. And so what you're seeing in the trends is not well depletion of the Middle Bakken, but you're seeing people drill wells more and more into the Three Forks and produce more water from there.
Okay. One of the questions from the webinar is just an explanation of, on the last couple slides that you had red and gray lines. Could you explain what those lines represent?
Yes, I'm sorry. So slides 10 and 11, the forecast that I perform has two cases, case one, case two, case one in red, case two in gray. Just two different scenarios where I try to band what may be reasonable performance or activity levels in the region. So I don't have them in here, what the new wells being added in a given month, but it's something that I definitely have on my website. I can definitely get it to folks that want to see, you know, some of those underlying drivers for these models. But again, not saying one case is more realistic than the other, just trying to band two different cases of where activity may be headed in the future.
Okay, any other questions for Mr. Kringstad or Lynn on this particular topic before we move into our director's cut?
Could you clarify what, again, the publication and when their report was published that you guys take issue with?
Do you want to touch on that? So it came out last Thursday, and I'm looking for the author, Arthur. Let me find it here. Arthur Berman. He's a geologist, and he did some pretty detailed analysis on the Bakken and concluded that it's the beginning of the end for the Bakken play. It was published last Thursday, and so as a part of this whole week of data and information coming out, we wanted to make sure that the North Dakota side of this story was part of that mix as well. And I believe the article was picked up by Forbes magazine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'll probably get into this on the director's cut, so I'll save one of these questions. But operators are discussing 1.2 million barrels of EUR. Is it possible that North Dakota could see even higher production with less drilling? Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's so when you're forecasting, obviously you take a look at well performance. There are some areas of the play that have significantly higher well performance than say, the fringe areas. So when you're doing any type of long-term modeling, you have to find that balance of how much activity is in the core area with those real high EURs, how much at certain price points takes place in some of the lower performing areas. And so that all gets wrapped into the considerations for these forecast models going forward. So, but you are correct that there's definitely areas with some very good wells that have much higher EURs compared to some of the fringe areas of the play.
Maybe for those of you in the room or on the webinar that don't know, EUR is estimated ultimate recovery.
Yes, sorry.
I should have said that. I shouldn't have just read EUR. Okay.
Do you have a particular reason why the, shall we say, the efficiency, or whatever you want to call it, the wells is better, why the production is better?
Yeah, so the question for those in the webinar was, you know, what's really driving those performance increases for the wells? Mm-hmm. It really comes down to completion technologies. And so the amount and the techniques used for the amount of water that's used, the amount of proppant that's used, really getting into the stage counts. But the more rock that they're able to touch with their completion job, the better those wells are going to perform and being able to access all the oil that's held within that reservoir. And so it really all comes down to the completion techniques and how that has been continuing to evolve over the last handful of years.
So I think you saw yesterday at Energy Day, Kathy Nesset talked about the evolving technology, and she talked about those two issues in particular, one being better geo-steering of the wells, so making sure that the well gets placed in the best part of the rock for recovering more oil, and then secondly, more stages, bigger stages, different proppants, and different completion techniques. For example, not too many years ago, everybody did swell packers and liners, and the majority of the wells are completed now with cemented liners and very specific pinpointed perforations for where they're going to frack along the lateral. So.
Okay. I got one question I'm going to say from Increased Pipeline Infrastructure Director's Cut to the region. From the region plan for the next few years.
Correct. And so the forecast does take into consideration all the external factors, taking a look at what's happening in the near term with pricing scenarios, what's taking place with any type of transportation. You know, if that were to be a constraint, and that would be built into the model. But right now, all the external factors are wrapped into how this model is built.
Okay. Alrighty. We will let Justin disappear. He's got a place he's got to go. So we will.
Thanks, Justin.
Yeah, thank you.
Mr. Helms. Switch gears here. Just a reminder, we'll try to keep it to the topic that we just had and or the director's cut. Again, we're releasing this director's cut because we'd like to have the latest and greatest information as the revenue forecast comes out tomorrow from the legislature. So with that.
Right. So this period, this point in time, in a legislature becomes a bit of a clockmaker's puzzle, and that's the theme that I've chosen for this month's director's cut, because it's a little bit that way too. But just kind of backing up, last Thursday the article was published that talked about the beginning of the end for the Bakken. Last Friday the revenue forecasting group met and talked about what's happening in all the different segments of North Dakota's economy, gave some advice to OMB and to Moody's on what they might want to do with their model as they prepare for tomorrow's revenue forecast. Yesterday, Energy Day at the Capitol, industry was in to talk about the optimism they have in the face of $50 oil and potentially $60 oil, and what they see happening in terms of world demand and world supply. And in the middle of that, we felt like everybody needed to know the latest in terms of oil production numbers. We had an enormous drop in production in December, and was that the beginning of a new trend, or is January going to be back on trend? So in the middle of that clockmaker's puzzle, here we are, one of the moving parts. Our March director's cut then, looking at January production, shows a 4% increase, back up 38,000 barrels a day. We started the month with horrific weather, but about mid-January, the last 10 days of January, the weather really moderated. We had warm, dry weather, a little bit on the windy side, but really good weather for putting some wells back on production and trucking and hauling some oil and salt water. So we saw production get back on trend, really, and come up 38,000 barrels a day. We saw gas production come up. The gas plants were able to operate a little bit better, came up 1.2%, about 18 million a day. A lot of movement in well counts. So we saw 67 additional unconventional Bakken and Three Forks wells put in the well count. We saw 71 conventional old low-producing wells go offline. 54 new completions, that's a low number, but we had 84, which was a very high number in December. But a lot of those produced just for a partial month, and I think we're finding out that well completions, because they happen during the month, a lot of times they're in flowback stage during that month, and that production may show up a month later, or it may show up that month, and it's really hard to get your arms around. But the good news is that production came up, and things really kind of got back on trend. So we're looking at being on or above trend as far as the revenue forecast. On the flaring side, also good news, flaring dropped. So we saw it decrease to 12% with an 88% statewide capture. That's above Industrial Commission targets and industry targets, so that's good. We saw activity on Fort Berthold increase, as it did around the rest of the state. Still have over 800 wells waiting on completion, so that DUC inventory or drilled uncompleted inventory is still very high. And that's what's really going to feed production as we move into the middle third quarter, fourth quarter of this year. We saw the rig count increase, jumped to 44 today from an average of 39 in February, an average of 38 in January. So that's a substantial uptick. The one place where things went the other direction was inactive wells. And like I said, that happened because lots of low-producing conventional wells were shut down and left shut down. It didn't pay to try to bring them back on even the end of January as the weather moderated a little bit. little bit of activity on the federal regulatory front. There, as you know, is a resolution to in Congress that's working its way through on the BLM venting and flaring rule. It's gotten hung up in the Senate, hasn't been brought to a vote, and so we're encouraging people to contact senators and urge them to take action on that soon. And on the EPA side, the information request that they had looked at, which was going to be an enormous information gathering effort that came out of the meeting with Prime Minister Trudeau, they have now announced that they're not going to do that. They have canceled that information gathering effort. And so that's about the only two areas that where there's been any movement on the federal side. I take that back. President Trump signed an executive order directing the EPA to begin the action of doing away with Waters of the U.S. And so some pretty significant movement on the federal side in terms of reducing barriers and hurdles to increase production. So we're calling it a clockmaker's puzzle. That's what it is. Lots of moving parts, some of them moving in the opposite direction of others, but it needs to be part of the mix as the state deals with its revenue forecast and moves through this week.
Okay. First question that I was holding, all of you might guess, but the question is about that magic million barrel a day mark. When do you see it?
When do we see it again?
When do we see it again?
Yes. Yeah. So the discussion amongst industry, and if you were in town yesterday, you would have caught on to a lot of optimism. So industry really has turned the corner from that aspect and is very optimistic moving forward. I tried to caution them that oil prices are really dependent on OPEC discipline. And the OPEC agreement that was signed the end of November expires the end of May. So will they renew it? They really need to if the discipline is going to stay and oil prices are going to stay in that price band. So I think it showed up on Justin's plots, that million barrel a day thing probably happens late 2018, early 2019 in one of your scenarios?
Yeah, I mean, 2018.
Right. So probably fourth quarter of 2018, we have a real shot at going back above a million barrels a day.
Okay. I don't know what level of specifics we really want to get into since they're releasing it tomorrow, but maybe just the level of production that the revenue forecast is built on.
So the, and I can really only speak to what the advisory council told Moody's and mm-hmm. OMB to use, but more than likely that's what they're going to use. They plan to begin the biennium at 900,000 barrels a day, which gives us some, I guess you'd say, room to maneuver, maneuvering room between the 980 where we are now and that 900. They're going to raise it for fiscal 18 to 925 and then raise it again. So I guess they're going to end this biennium at 900,000 barrels a day. Beginning in July, they'll raise it to 925, and then the following July, raise it to 950. There was some conversation about going a little bit higher. I think these numbers would strongly support the 900, 925, 950. There'd be some fair amount of risk in going higher. So I expect it to be that those three numbers.
Okay. Since these are the first numbers after the OPEC, non-OPEC deal took effect, do you think the bump is from part of that agreement? Are Bakken producers drilling anymore because OPEC, non-OPEC producers are cutting?
In my opinion, yes. The expectation just a few months ago as we started the legislative session was that we would go 30 rigs, 50 rigs, 55 rigs, fiscal 17, 18, 19. The forecast now is built on 40, 50, and 55. So we have seen a significant uptick in rig count in the last few months, and a lot of operators talking about adding a significant number of rigs before the end of this year. So, and we've seen them actually act on that. Marathon, for example, started the year with one rig operating, and they're at six, planning to add one more before the end of the year. And that's a pretty good example of what we're seeing in the optimism. So as the OPEC agreement took effect and some discipline began to show up in the market and prices rose into that $50 to $60 band, then people became comfortable putting some capital out there and risking that capital. And so what happens at the end of May will impact what they do October through December as they plan their 2018 budgets. But there's a lot more optimism and a lot more cash flow and capital availability.
Could we back up to the executive order about doing away with the waters of the U.S.? What do you believe that will mean for production? What will the impact be in North Dakota?
So the question was the executive order on waters of the U.S. and what the impact on North Dakota would be. I will have to get back to you on the dollars and the production impact. But when we went to Fargo and testified in federal court to get the injunction on waters of the U.S., the problem we saw with it was going to block the expansion of gas gathering pipeline systems. And so that was the number that we used to come up, and it was in the hundreds of millions of dollars per year of flaring that was going to occur because of the barriers or the hurdles to build gas gathering and processing equipment. So I'll have to get back to you on the hard number, but it was in the hundreds of millions of dollars every year in lost revenues because flaring was going to stay above the Industrial Commission targets.
Just quickly clarify, the person who asked the question about reaching million barrels a day wasn't quite sure if you meant fourth quarter 2018 or fourth quarter 2017.
I meant fourth quarter of 2018.
Okay.
Yeah. I think expectations are that production will continue to fall more or less on trend through the middle of this year because even though weather moderated in late January, we still have to get through road restrictions and a spring snow melt and possible flood conditions as we go through spring. So we don't start to see major upticks in activity until May or June. And those will turn into production increases late third quarter, early fourth quarter. But we probably don't turn the corner and start back up until the fourth quarter of 17 with a million barrels a day in our sights, fourth quarter of 18.
And I do have to ask you, I ask you every time you mention this, but there's new people on the call and maybe aren't familiar with road restrictions. What are they?
Sure. So North Dakota's climate generally is frozen 7 months out of the year. And so the ground literally freezes down 4 to 6 feet. And as that frozen soil begins to melt, the condition of the roads becomes very poor. The road beds get soft, and you're not able to take the heavy semi-trucks, the 105,000-pound semi-trucks, across those roads. So activity goes way down. It takes two or three times as many truckloads to move the oil and salt water. Nobody moves drilling rigs or workover rigs when the roads are in that condition. And that can last anywhere from 6 weeks to 2.5 months. So.
And we know they're already on because the signs are out on the street that we are.
There you are. Signs are out on Calgary.
Yeah.
So they got road restrictions on Calgary already.
Yeah, yes, they do. Mr. Thompson?
Any thoughts about how this latest snow event this week is going to have on production?
Yeah, the question was this snow event this week and its effect on production. It was pretty short-lived, but the anecdotes that I'm hearing from the field was that wells were shut in. So I think we can expect maybe not a big decrease in March production, but certainly some tempering of March production, because we're going to have a 3 or 4 day window when a lot of wells were shut in and no oil or salt water was moved. And certainly there were no frack crews working yesterday or the day before in those kind of winds. Above 35 miles an hour, they absolutely cannot hang that stuff in the air and hydraulically fracture wells.
And we didn't get a FedEx delivery yesterday because they said they couldn't land the plane. So, if you can't land planes, you're not fracking wells. Okay. I think
there will be some effect in the March production, and it'll be downward.
Okay. This may be a little off topic, but, you know, the Dakota Access Pipeline's going to be coming online eventually. There's talk, first off, is the Alberta Clipper Line, does that have any effect on North Dakota crude? No. Is there still an on-ramp being planned for Keystone XL, should it go forward?
That, I have not heard what the intentions are. There were in the original proposal.
I'm just curious.
But, they would probably have to go back to the shippers to see what type of market appetite there is for.
Yeah, so the current design does include an on-ramp at Baker,
yeah.
But before they actually build that tankage the pump capacity and everything to do that, they'll hold an open season and see what gets nominated for Bakken production. Clearly, the existence of Dakota Access will affect whether people want to nominate barrels to go on to XL or not.
Okay. That's all I have from the webinar. Right. So unless anyone...
Just to clarify, January being one of the biggest... Was it the biggest drop in production that you have ever
December.
December was the biggest drop in history.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So we're seeing an improvement this in January.
Correct.
But in the next 4 to 6 months, do you still anticipate numbers to go down somewhat? Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. And for the benefit of those on the webinar, the question was, you know, looking out the next 4 to 6 months, do we still expect a downward trend? And we do, in fact, expect production to drop slightly, you know, more like in the 10,000 barrels a day per month range into June. Then it should flatten, and around fourth quarter it should start to go back the other direction. And a year later, we hope that we can hold another million barrel a day celebration.
Okay. All right. Thanks, everyone.